Genesis 41. Let's read the first 14 verses. Beginning in verse 1. Then it came to pass, at the end of 2 full years, that Pharaoh had a dream. And behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine-looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamed a second time. And suddenly 7 heads of grain came up on 1 stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my fault this day, when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker. We each had a dream in 1 night, he and I. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass just as he had interpreted for us. So it happened, just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask now that you prepare our hearts to understand and receive, that you give us faith to believe and eyes to see, ears to hear. Bless this time. We pray that your Spirit would minister to us where we're at. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now Joseph gets his break. He gets an opportunity to stand before Pharaoh. It's been 13 years since he was sold as a slave by his brothers and he went into the land of Egypt. And now 13 years later, after being a slave, after being thrown into prison for nothing, no wrongdoing, 13 years later, he gets a break, an open door, a turning point in his life, and he stands before Pharaoh to interpret his dream. Now look in verse 1, it says, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. Now he interpreted the baker and the butler's dream. And he told the butler, tell the Pharaoh I'm in here. And he forgot. He didn't tell him. And another 2 years passed. And we think, why the delay? Why did it have to take another 2 years? Why did he have to be a servant and a slave for 13 years? Maybe it was God's plan for Joseph to come and interpret Pharaoh's dream, but why did he have to go through so much hardship, so much difficulty for 13 years in Egypt? Why did he have to wait another 2 years in prison because the butler forgot to tell the Pharaoh? Why? Why the delay? Why the hardship? Why did he have to go through everything he went through? Well, we're going to walk through this chapter and we're going to seek to understand why he had to go through all that. And we're going to see what lessons he learned the past 13 years. How sometimes difficulties are necessary. And for Joseph, he was a different Joseph that stood before Pharaoh. If he had a good life for the past 30 years and he went through no difficulty, he wouldn't have been the Joseph that he was. And he wouldn't have been able to accomplish what he did. He wouldn't have been able to answer as he did. We find, you know, we have a benefit when we read stories in the Bible. We can see the beginning and the end. We can see the whole story. And we can look at Joseph's life and we can look back and say, well, that's why God did that for Joseph. And we almost can see the story kind of how God sees our lives. It's hard for us at one point in time, why are you doing this, God? As I'm sure it was hard for Joseph many times, points and times in his life. Why am I thrown in prison? Why has it been so long? Why did my brothers sell me as a slave? And we don't see the end yet. But God sees the whole story. And he has a purpose. And we can look at stories and draw encouragement that God seemed to know what he was doing with Joseph. Maybe he knows what he's doing with me too. Maybe there's a purpose. Maybe there's a meaning. So let's look closely now as Joseph gets this opportunity. You think, he gets this, there's this defining moment in his life. There's this chance. And he's ready. He's ready to be summoned before Pharaoh. He's ready to interpret the dream. He's ready to fill the opportunity to go through the door. And I was thinking about this week. Am I ready? Things are coming up in our lives. Opportunities are on the horizon. Open doors, encounters, turning points, defining moments are on their way. Are we ready for them? Are we prepared when they come? Well, let's look at how Joseph acted. After all this hardship, he gets the opportunity to stand before Pharaoh. Look at verse 14 again. We'll read through 16. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And he shaved, changed his clothes, and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. First thing I see here about Joseph, he says, Pharaoh says, hey, I've had a dream. And I heard you can understand. I heard you can interpret dreams. First thing out of Joseph's mouth, it is not in me. See, Joseph had already learned the lesson of humility. He knew at this point in his life there was nothing in him that could help Pharaoh. He didn't have the answer in himself. He'd learned that lesson. He learned that he needed God's help to interpret dreams. He learned that lesson through his hardship. And you look at the life of Joseph, and God stripped a lot of his position and his abilities away from him when he was 17 years old, sold as a slave. God limited him. All he could do is serve at Potiphar's house. God limited his life for so long, but in that, he learned some lessons, and one lesson he learned is, I can't do it. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I can't fix people's problems. I'm limited to how circumstances come. I'm not bigger. I'm not big enough. He says, it is not in me. He learned this lesson of humility. Now, for Joseph, when it came to interpreting dreams, this was something that he's always had an interest in. When he was young, he had a couple of dreams. And he interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker. But he learned the lesson that it wasn't in him, it was God that it was giving him the interpretation. So he learned the lesson of humility. And as we walk through these, I think about myself. How many times do I find myself in life thinking, I just feel like I'm failing. I feel like I just can't do it. Maybe God's trying to teach me that same lesson. Trying to bring me to the point where, okay, I get it. It's not in me. I can't do it. Then how much will it take for me to fully learn that lesson? To when, we all have a different purpose and call. And what God has planned for me, he has to prepare me for it. And how much does he have to strip from me before I'm ready to accomplish in a humble way what he's called me to do? Where I can stand when the opportunity arises and says, I know, I've learned, it's not me, it's not in me. So Joseph had learned the lesson of humility through his hardship, and he stood before Pharaoh. He knew he didn't have to get ready, he was ready. He's already a humble man. It's not in me, Pharaoh. But he also says, God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Not only did he know that it wasn't in him, but he also knew that he was confident that God could and would interpret the dream. See, he'd learned the lesson of confidence in God, of faith. What a wonderful combination. Humility and faith. To be able to say, I know it's not in me, but I know that God has the answer. I know that Jesus can make the difference, can help you, can give you the interpretation. He had great confidence, great faith, and yet he was humble. It's not me, but it is God. God will give you the interpretation. Remember, with the interpretation of the dream, the baker and the butler, they came true. And Joseph had learned God's interpretations come to pass. God's word stands. Through this, I was thinking, you know, there's general faith that we're all called to have. We're all called to believe in God. God is real. God is good. God is love. God works all things together for the good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And these general things that we all need to lay hold of and believe. But then He calls us to specifically have specific faith for a specific thing. For Joseph, He taught Joseph, He groomed Joseph, and Joseph could receive interpretations of dreams from God. So he learned specific faith for that. I think of myself, if someone called me and says, I've got a dream, I wouldn't have the faith to say, I know God will give me the interpretation to your dream. I don't know that. God's not called me to that. But I thought about myself. I remember early on when I used to first started teaching and preaching the Bible, started teaching through Psalms. And I remember kind of having anxiety and fear. Oh, I hope I'm going to get something good out of the next chapter. What if it's a bad chapter? What if there's nothing to say? What if I don't understand it? But after doing it again and again and recognizing that God was faithful to speak to me, to open it up and give me something to say, He prepared me and taught me faith. Where now I have more of a confidence in God. I know God's going to speak to me through His Word, through the next chapter. When God calls me to speak somewhere, I know He'll be faithful to give me something to say. That's what He's called me to do. He called Joseph to interpret dreams, and he learned through his hardship, through his life. At this point, he knew that God was going to give him the interpretation. He grew in faith in that area. It's not in me, Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the interpretation. He had full confidence, full faith in what God's called him to do. Oh, that we would have faith, grow in faith, let God teach us faith and confidence in the area He wants to groom us. God will. Not that only that God can, but that God will. Also, he said, God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. I like that. I think this speaks of the nature of God. Joseph knew God was good. Joseph knew that God's interpretation of the dream was going to be good. It was going to be a peace. It was going to bring peace because that's God's nature, because God is good. He learned that. Though you look at Joseph's life, he went through a lot of hardship. And yet he still, the Bible said that God was with him all the way along the way. He was sold as a slave and God was with Joseph. He was thrown in prison and God was with Joseph. And Joseph had learned a peace in the midst of hardship. And he knew that God was good. And he knew that peace came from God. So here he is. He had learned humility. It's not in me. He had learned faith and confidence. God will give you an interpretation. And he had learned that God is good. The nature of God is good. And he said, that interpretation is going to be good. It's going to give you an interpretation of peace. Let's read some more. 16 and following. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream I stood on the bank of the river. He recites the dream to him again. Suddenly seven cows came up out of the river, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, seven other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and gaunt. such ugliness as I have never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the gaunt and ugly cows ate up the first seven, and the fat cows. When they had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were just as ugly as at the beginning. So I awoke. Also I saw in my dream, and suddenly seven heads came up on one stalk, full and good. Then behold, seven heads, withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the thin heads devoured the seven good heads. So I told this to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dream of Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years. The seven good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one. The seven thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise. And all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe." And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. So Joseph doesn't flinch. Pharaoh tells him the dream. He said, this is the interpretation. This is what it means. Both dreams are one. They mean the same thing. Seven cows, seven heads of wheat. They're 7 years. And he goes on to interpret the dream and what it means. And I see that, again, we're looking at how for 13 years Joseph had hardships in his life, and yet they taught him things. And one of the things that one of the skills he honed is the interpretation of dreams. Again, God had called him to it. And he was good at it at this point. The dreams that we've read about in the story, they always came in twos. When Joseph was a teenager, he had two dreams. One dream, him and his brothers were all binding sheaves, and his sheave arose and stood aright, and all his brothers' sheaves bowed down to his. And then in the next dream, the 11 stars and the sun and moon bowed down to him. Two dreams. Speaking of God placing him in a position of authority in the future over his family. And then when he interpreted the dreams of the baker and the butler, again there was two dreams, both with different interpretations but similar time frames. And here Pharaoh gets two dreams too. And I see, you know, God makes it easy for us. It's not that Joseph was some magician or he had some, you know, supernatural, mystical skills. God had groomed him. God was teaching him. And by the time he got to Pharaoh, it was easy. He knew what the dream meant. He had understood by that point. The Lord had taught him, and he was ready. Wasn't difficult at that point. And God wants to teach us. And through our lives, may take a while, he's grooming us for a purpose. He's preparing us for his plan so that we will be ready. So that it won't be like, now what do I do? We've been preparing. We've been practicing. We know something now. Now who would know that this idea, this skill, this understanding of interpreting dreams would give Joseph such an opportunity, as we see it will. But God did. God knew. And he was prepared. So he was prepared in the practical, and just how to interpret dreams. He had honed that. Also, I see here, notice how he says, God is trying to tell Pharaoh what he's about to do. Something else that Joseph had learned through his hardship is to be other-focused, others-focused. Remember when he was in prison? He's thrown in prison, and he didn't do anything wrong, and yet here he is serving the prisoners, saying, what's wrong? You look sad today. Can you tell me what happened? Oh, we had a dream. Tell me the dream, please. How can I help? And he had learned through these years to care about others. He'd learned compassion and sympathy, and he learned to not make things all about him, but to care about others. And so when he stood before Pharaoh, he wasn't self-centered. He heard the dream, and he was thinking about Pharaoh. God's talking to you, Pharaoh. See, he was able to talk about someone else when he didn't have anything to do with it at this point. He had learned that, to make it about others, to reach out and serve. And here he was. You know, God's talking to you, Pharaoh. You notice how the dreams are specific to the person. Remember, the baker had a dream of baskets of bread. The butler had a dream of the vine and the cup of wine. And here the Pharaoh, in charge of the lands, had a dream of cows and wheat. Obviously, his mind on the economy of the land. But Joseph knew this dream is for you, Pharaoh. And this is what it means. He learned that concept of caring about others and being focused on others and how they feel and how they're thinking to help them. He'd learned that lesson. And again, through this whole thing, if Joseph hadn't gone through the circumstances he'd gone through, he wouldn't be the same. He had to go through what he went through to learn the humility, to learn the confidence in God through hardship, to learn that God's nature is good, learn how to interpret dreams, and also to learn that to put others first and be others focused. One more thing I see from this section. He told Pharaoh the true interpretation of the dream. 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. Now in the dream, the gaunt and ugly cows ate up the fat cows and they looked just as gaunt and ugly. And Pharaoh had learned, or Joseph had learned to tell the truth, even when it was difficult or it wasn't easy or it wasn't good news. And he said, listen, the interpretation of the dream is there's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine, and they're going to be so bad that no one's going to remember the plenty. Really, the dream had a bad interpretation in one sense. God's telling you what's going to happen, Pharaoh, and there's bad stuff coming. There's a famine coming, a really bad famine. There's some plenty, but the famine's going to be so bad that everyone's going to forget the years of plenty. And Joseph had learned to tell the truth, the hard truth, to not compromise the truth. And so he told the truth. He gave the full, true interpretation of the dream. Let's read a little more, beginning in verse 33. Now, therefore, Joseph says to Pharaoh, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh. And let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. I like this. Here's Pharaoh standing before this Joseph standing before Pharaoh. Pharaoh's like the most powerful man in the world on the face of the planet at this point. And here's this Hebrew coming out of the dungeon. And he gives him the interpretation of the dream, and then he goes farther. Listen, Pharaoh, this is what you got to do. He gives him advice boldly. But you know what? Another thing Joseph had learned through his hardship, he was a problem solver. He would take the hand that was dealt to him and he would make the best of it. He would take a problem and he would find a solution. He'd learned that. He was made a servant, sold as a slave. Well, he became a good slave. He made the best of it. Thrown in prison, he became the ideal prisoner. And so here he's faced with this interpretation. Famine's coming. This is what you got to do. This is what I would do. He was a problem solver. He would see how he could fix it. He was hands-on, and he just went for it and told Pharaoh what to do. Advice. This is what you got to do. And he had a good plan. He had a good plan. He says you got to appoint someone to be in charge of it. And you got to double the taxes. At that time in Egypt, 1/10 was the tax. Make it 1/5. Take 20% and store up the extra grain and store it in each city. Put it in places where it would be ready to distribute when the years of famine come. He was a problem solver. He learned it and he was ready to give his opinion. And here he is giving Pharaoh advice. He'd learned to be positive, make the best out of what's dealt to you. Also, he'd learned, you know, he had the practical skill of interpreting dreams, but he also learned the practical skills of administration. When he was sold as a slave, he became the head of the slaves. And he learned to administrate. He was the head of the household and he made everything work, and he learned how to lead a household. He learned in prison people were put under his care. And he learned the skill of administration. And he had that skill and he was ready. Listen, you need an administrator. I know how it works. I know exactly what he has to do. I know how to do it. Now, I don't think Joseph was trying to hint for a job, but he just had a plan of how to solve the problem. And he wasn't afraid to speak his mind. Let's read some more in verse 37. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried out before him, "Bow the knee." So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him as wife Asnath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. So Pharaoh liked the advice. He said, "Yeah, you know what? You're the best man for the job. Who's wiser than you?" And I see this. I see, man, what an exaltation. He was in an instant taken from the dungeon to being second in command in the nation. And I thought, man, for someone to handle that without it going to their head, without the corruption, without the power corrupting them, it would take a stable base. It would take a humble man. And here you hear the phrases. Pharaoh's not a godly man, and you hear what he's saying. Man, there's no one going to be under you in the kingdom. There's no one as wise as you. And saying all these phrases that could have easily corrupted a person and made a person egotistical. But Joseph, again, had learned exaltation. Even when he was a slave, he was exalted as the highest servant. And he did learn that with exaltation came temptation, as the wife of Potiphar cast longing eyes on him and said, "Lie with me." And he resisted temptation. See, he was ready for this. He went through some hard stuff, 13 years of hard things. But now when the exaltation came, he had a level head. He was ready to do the job. He was prepared. He was leery and weary of any temptation. He wasn't going to compromise. He wasn't going to be corrupt. He'd learned exaltation. He'd learned about temptation. And again, we looked at when he was in the prison, he served the other prisoners. He'd learned to serve. And that's what he does. Here Pharaoh exalts him, and it says he goes throughout the land. He gets to work. He goes straight to work. "I'm going to serve the people. I'm going to serve Pharaoh." He's ready to do it. He'd learned the act of service and he went for it. I thought, man, if only our public servants today truly served. Many of them probably do, but certainly many of them don't. And they're given these positions and, man, they look at it as an opportunity to get something for themselves. And they use it incorrectly. And Joseph wasn't like that. He was given this position. He could take anything he wanted from anybody in Egypt. And yet the only thing he took was grain for the Pharaoh. He was serving the Pharaoh. He was serving the people. He got to work and he wasn't misguided. He wasn't distracted. He just went to work throughout all the land, collecting, storing, getting ready to distribute, planning for the famine. It says that Pharaoh gave him a wife. Didn't take anything for himself. But stuff was given to him. He'd learned exaltation. He learned about temptation. He learned service, hard work, and he went to work. Let's read the rest of the story. Verse 46. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now in the 7 plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. Joseph gathered very much grain, as the sand of the sea, until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. And to Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, from Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Manasseh, meaning forgetful. McGee says you could call him amnesia. Verse 52, and the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. McGee called him ambrosia. I looked it up, some kind of food for the gods. Verse 53, then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. The famine was in the lands, in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, do. The famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all the countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, because the famine was severe in all the land. A couple more things I see here. We're almost done. Things, again, that Joseph had learned, purpose, the reason behind all his hardship. He'd learned patience and perseverance. See, he had to wait 13 years. He was in prison for years and years. He was a slave in the house of Potiphar for years and years. He was the perfect man for the job, because he had to consistently and relentlessly collect grain for 7 years. And he did. He didn't let up. He knew how to patiently and perseverantly accomplish a task. And he stuck to it. And then he had to go for another 7 years distributing the grain. But he learned it. He was prepped. He was ready for his purpose. He'd learned patience and perseverance. Also, he'd learned to acknowledge God. He gave God credit. He learned to do that, and he doesn't stop here. And you see that he has kids. He has his firstborn. He said, God has made me forget. Here, life's good. Life's a lot better than being a slave. Life's a lot better than being in a dungeon. And he was enjoying life, but it's because of God. Life's so good, man, I don't even remember how bad it was. And thank God, God has caused me to forget my afflictions, acknowledging God for his blessings. Then he had another son, called him fruitful. God has made me fruitful. This is God. God's hands on this. God has brought me to this place. God has done this. He learned to acknowledge God, and he acknowledged God in all that he did. There was one more thing that I skipped over and didn't mention. Remember the Pharaoh said of Joseph, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Another thing about Joseph is that it was evident that God was with him. Potiphar, when he first purchased him as a slave and he began to serve him, he said he saw that God was with him, the Lord, the Creator, a different kind of God than the God of the Egyptians worshipped. But it was evident. Joseph was different, and you could tell. And he'd learned that, and it was true. Pharaoh, he just met him. Man, I can see it. The Spirit of God is in you. God is with you. It was evident. It was necessary for Joseph. So what can we learn from all this? What do we apply? Here we are in our lives, and difficulties come. We have questions. Why is God allowing this? Why is it so hard? Why is it taking so long? Why have I been here for this long? We can learn to trust God's timing and God's work. He must have a purpose in it. He must have a plan in it. He must be teaching me something. It must be important. There must be a reason for it. Can we believe that? I thought of, here, the Bible says that Joseph was tested. And you read the life of Joseph, and he passed the test, man. He was a wonderful example of someone in a bad situation making the best of it. And you think, well, I don't live up to that. I've failed many of my tests. But God is a gracious God. And He'll meet us where we're at and take us back to school. Start training us once again. Thought of a person, maybe a child going to school. Don't like school, trying to get out of the schoolwork given to him or her. And at some point, they realize the importance of school. And man, I need this. They start to apply themselves and give their best effort. And that's how we should be with God. We might be going through life complaining, wanting everything just to work out and all the problems to leave until maybe we wake up to the realization that God is in control. And this trial and all hardships and everything in life has a purpose. So we start to give our full attention. We start to try to allow God to form us. We start to try to learn the lesson. Okay, God, you're trying to break me? You're right. I can't do it. I'm ready to accept it. Break me. Please. You want to teach me to serve? Okay, I'll serve. I'll stop running from it. What is it that you're trying to teach me, God? How is this going to be important in my future? I'm ready to go to school, to give our best effort. Lord, you pick the classes. You think, we don't know what the future holds. How can we prepare? How can we prepare for what the future holds? We have to trust God. He knows. He knows. And He's ready to teach us. He's ready to lead us. We're reluctant. Come on, I know what you need. But I don't like that. That's not fun. That's hard. That's not what I want to do. But I know what's coming and you don't. Trust me. You got to do this. You got to go this way. Oh, that we would trust Him as we see that He worked in Joseph's life. He will work in ours. He has a plan. And then, to learn our lessons well and to lean on what we've learned. God teaches us things. He teaches us humility. He teaches us lessons. We've learned things. You've learned things. Grab hold of them and use them. Joseph had been prepared, but when the time came, he didn't forsake everything he learned. He said, no, this is God. He gave God the credit. He knew that God was going to give the interpretation. He used what he learned. Oh, that we would learn our lessons and then use it when the opportunity comes. We don't cast away the Lord. What we've learned from Him and try to do it the world's way? No, we hold on to the things He showed us. God, You showed me to be humble. You showed me to trust You. I'm not going to stop trusting You. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to start thinking I'm smart enough and I can do it without You. To use what He's taught us, to trust Him through the hardships. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word and the example of Joseph. We see Joseph's life turned around in an instant. Everything changed. We see the exaltation. We see the fruition of Your plan from the beginning. It brings hope. Lord, we believe, though sometimes it's hard and we doubt, we know that You're good and You have a plan for us too. We don't see it. We don't know exactly how it'll work. But we believe that You have a plan for us. And we want to fulfill that plan. We want to do what You've called us to. We want to prepare for it. And we want to glorify You and do our very best. Help us, Lord. May we live our life today, learning the lessons we need to learn today for the future. May we give our best. May we trust You along the way. Let You lead. Lord, may we be ready when the opportunity arises. Whatever opportunities over the horizon, may we be ready. Prepare us, Lord. Fill us with Your Spirit. May we be ready. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.